Hello, and thank you for joining us on this podcast. Today's podcast is a very, very special one. I have the CEO of the Sikh Research Institute, Harinder Singh, today, and we talk about the current state of Punjab. What is happening in Punjab right now? You see it all over social media on the Guru Granth Sahib Beadbi, Bapu Surat Singh, the media blackout, comparisons to 1984, and we get into all of that and unpack it for you. So all the Sikhs out there and non-Sikhs out there that haven't been keeping up with the news, this is a podcast for you. Harinder breaks it down exactly what's happening, and he even goes back all the way to 1978. So I hope you guys enjoy this and learn a lot, and let's get into it.
Okay, Harinder, so let's get into this. Let's start off with the reports I've been seeing on social and on Google searches about Guru Granth Sahib's Beadbi that happened. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I know there's a lot of reports out. Maybe you could make it a little more clear for us, and then we'll get into what else is happening in Punjab.
Sure. So the incident which is widely being reported is that couple of individuals tore down 100 plus pages. The reports are saying more than 100 pages. Some are giving specific numbers. We'll say 100 plus pages of Guru Granth Sahib and threw it on the pathway which was leading up to the Gurdwara in one of the historic pins. We can get into it. But essentially, this might seem like this is not the first time, by the way, this is happening. This has been going on in Punjab. Pretty much there is a weekly or a monthly event, something of this nature. But interesting element, which is, I think, part of the escalation is, the reason for the escalation is that, so just imagine that, because, you know, the Sikhs look at Guru Granth Sahib as being not just a holy book. It is a guru. Guru is perfection. We carry it on our heads. And then somebody going out inside the Gurdwara, walking in there, because there's no securities in any Gurdwaras, and this is a pind, he walks inside, tears up the pages, 100 plus, and in Sikh sentiments, they even call them angs, which means bodies. But without even sensationalizing this, even if you look at it as being scriptural creation, and then tearing it up, throwing it on the streets, and eventually, there's a report, there is individuals belonging to court Dera Sakshya Sauda have taken responsibility for doing that. I think that's the escalation point. I'm not saying that it would have been any less if it wasn't Dera Sakshya Sauda, because I'm going to bring a context of that, but that's what happened. People are desecrating sarups of Guru Granth Sahib, which are very, very sensitive psychologically, and in terms of Sikh psyche, it's considered Beadbi is the word used. And then two people from Dera Sakshya Sauda, quote Dera Sakshya Sauda, I say it because, you know, I don't want to sensationalize that part either, took responsibility for it. Sikhs showed up protesting against it in mass. One report even put that number to 30,000 people. And then Punjab police is using tear gas and water guns to disperse them. And they're only doing peaceful protest. And that's the escalation point. And what happens is two people are killed. Now there's a report of three being killed and three being critically injured and several hundred being arrested, including a very famous figure who Sikh masters like to listen to is Tadriyawala Baba.
Well, I mean, like you were saying, it's happened and there's many reports about this happening to the Guru Granth Sahib. And you're right, it is very emotional. Even for me, this is our guru. So is this more, I'm thinking, this is how I look at it now. Is this more like political? Is this another ploy by different people? And because it always comes down to politics and money, but is this another ploy just to break up relationships between Hindus and Sikhs? And Muslims, and just have a spite against each other and have minorities? I mean, why does this keep on happening? Is it because we always need a rift in Punjab and all these politics? Are elections coming up? Like, what's going on again?
So as I said, if it turns out that if indeed it is the case that it is the individuals from Dera Sakshya Sauda, then this is very clear cut related to what's been happening in last 2-3 weeks of the politics of Punjab, which involves Jathedar Akal Takht. It involves Chief Minister of Punjab. It involves Dera Sacha Sodha and its chief. And now let me bring that context, which is completely related to the vote banks in Punjab. It is election year coming up. And in that electioneering, last year when there were elections in Haryana, neighboring state, or last election, I should say, Dera Sacha Sodha endorsed BJP, which won in high margins in the state. Now, the chief of Dera Sacha Sodha, it needs to be understood what is happening here. There was this whole thing happening in the last 2 weeks where there was a conversation happening between Akal Takht Sahib and him. He sends a written apology. Akal Takht accepts a written apology, when itself is a big problem. Because never in the history of Akal Takht, whatever the process you might think of, but never, there is no precedence in the history of Akal Takht that if anyone wants to apologize, is doing it in writing. And even that came out when the head of Dera Sacha Sodha, Gurmukh Ram Rahim Singh, was asked. He says, I only was doing what the Jathedar's people were asking me to do. Now, that happening with an individual, again, regardless of your and my politics or our understanding, but this is happening with an individual where the head, he has 40 to 50 million followers. He is a prime accused in several criminal cases of murder, rape, and forced castrations. If that individual, who does not even believe he's a Sikh because they believe they belong to their oath, he's a godman for his people. First of all, there is no precedent for having that person come to the apology. But the reason this is political is Badal, current Chief Minister Prakash Singh Badal, is the one who installs the Jathedar. Jathedar is making this happen and facilitating this for the criminal intentions, primarily to get the vote bank. So this is not a rocket science. This is very, very clear as to why it is being facilitated. So now you look at the adbis happening of Guru Granth Sahib in the context of who's doing it, Dera Sacha Sodha followers. Dera Sacha Sodha follower is being given, you know, this his apology is being accepted by the Akal Takht Jathedar with no precedence in history of anything of that nature happening, from somebody who does not even believe in the faith to facilitating it as a written apology only. The only understanding which can be developed is that this is a complete political ploy, either to get votes next year in next election, or this is something like what happened in 1978, where and this is hyper-political. This is about where these kind of incidents are created to see which Sikhs will respond to it. You know, it happened in 78 in the city of Amritsar on a Vaisakhi day. Now this is happening happening within literally 3-4 things. There's a Sukh Khajinda day, which this year Jathedar did not attend, and they've been declared martyrs from Akal Takht. There's a Guru Granth Sahib day coming up. And this happened all in the middle of anniversaries which are approaching of 1984 for November as well. So I feel that this might be a deja vu of 1978. And at 1978, you know, 13 Sikhs were killed when Sikhs en masse protested. Here, Sikhs en masse are protesting and the troops are being called. The DGP of Punjab is enforcing this on a peaceful protest. So this is very much like hyper-politicization of 1978.
So just to get some context on that, I mean, I had so many questions while you were talking, but just so people out there can know, this guy that is the head of Dera Sacha Sodha, I think he's been going on for many years now, and there's been many protests, because is this the same person that tried to imitate Guru Gobind Singh Ji and do the Amrit ceremony?
Absolutely, absolutely. It is the same individual. Yeah. And the interesting thing is not that only he is doing this with playing with the Sikh sentiments. As I mentioned, this is the same individual who had several criminal cases of murder, rape, and forced castrations against him, which somehow all were nullified within last 6 months. And now he's being projected because of, again, 40 to 50 million followers is a big vote bank. You have to understand what is happening here. So, you know, I generally say that these This idea of Godmen in India has nothing to do with God. Most of them, it has been they're convicts. They're convicted of murders and rapes all the time. And in this case of Punjab politics and Sikh politics, he is definitely one of the players which is in the middle of these things. And he definitely has played with Sikh sentiments before.
Let's talk about Akal Takht, because I think I would love for everyone listening to, if I don't want to get too lengthy on this, but if you could talk about, because you said this has never happened before with Akal Takht and the letter writing, and one of your, I guess I would say, tweetable quotes is, you know, Akal Takht has been destroyed many times, but now it's been destroyed in Sikh minds. So I want to get into that just a little, because I want you to tell the history of Akal Takht, their power and what they should be enforcing and what is happening in the current state. Why was Akal Takht made and now what has it come to?
So Akal Takht is very, very clear in Sikh history from its inception that this is a parallel to the world political authorities. Akal is timeless, which we use as one of the phrases to describe Ek Omkar, and Takht is a throne. So in its inception, it was a parallel to Delhi's throne, which was the throne of the Mughal Empire. So this is the deliberation place for anything which affects the Panth. This is where Sikhs collect, deliberate, and in their collective deliberations, in light of Guru Granth Sahib, they make decisions on what is the best decision which every Sikh needs to implement. So it's a very, very pre-democracy of Europe, I can say. This is sort of, this is the democratic tendencies, what we will call it today, which were being dreamed of and implemented in the Guru period. Now, every government has tried to occupy this because this is a control and command center. That's the word used in war. If your control and command center is not under you, it is not heavily protected. When an enemy captures it, you can disseminate any information from there as you want. And this is what has happened in the history 100 years ago. But since 1995, slowly everything has been diluted. And in today's context, for example, in the context of Dera Sacha Sauda's head, Gurmeet Ram Rahim Singh, you know, his apology, he had sent an earlier apology too. Earlier Jathedar was Jathedar Vedanti, Joginder Singh Vedanti, Gyani Vedanti sometimes called. He had refused that. So this is the second time he had sent it. Akal Takht then replied to his apology in a letter as well. And both are available. I tweeted about them a couple of weeks ago as well. And people can read that how ridiculous this is. Because anytime something has come up, the process is individual has to go there and give, you know, clarifications as to why or he or she did. They can choose to go there. First of all, this process is for Sikhs. So I don't understand why this process is being firstly applied to somebody who says he is not a Sikh. But let's say he wanted to. There is a precedent for that. So if he wants to, there is a process for that, which has been applied for every other person who wants to go apologize or wants to be included back into the Panth. So here we have, since 95, different Jathedars doing their own things in the best of their capacities. But now a current Jathedar, he's actually even dismantling the process. Forget who even appointed him. So, and I'm going to add something else to it, which is the real power politics. If Akal Takht used to be the rallying point. Because Akal Takht Jathedar has done this, and it has very clearly come out publicly that he's violated every process out there, and he's only taking orders from the current Chief Minister of Punjab, several Sikh outlets, you know, from all shades of life, from Punjab, in the West, in the diaspora, and within outside the Punjab in Delhi, have been calling for Sarbat Khalsa. In fact, they even declared a date, which is November 10th, to be the Sarbat Khalsa. So this might be to make sure there is no Sarbat Khalsa, because Sarbat Khalsa is the system Guru Gobind Singh gave to us for collective deliberation. So this might be a tactic to make sure there is no Sarbat Khalsa. Again, we don't know exactly why these things are happening, but we definitely understand how they are dismantling the Sikh institutional frameworks and how they are trying to make sure There's a dilution of Sikh ideology and not allowing people to deliberate even peacefully. Although I have issues with the word peacefully as well, but my point is, whatever the peaceful protest is considered, even that is not digestible to quote unquote the democratic governments in India and Punjab.
Oh, definitely not digestible. I mean, today I saw pictures of just, you know, to give you an example, a picture from a bloodied Sikh person from 1984 and a bloodied Sikh person from today or yesterday. And the caption read, you know, what has changed from 1984 to 2015? You know, how has India changed? And then I read there was a media blackout that happened, which immediately triggered my 1984 thoughts in my head.
Right. So this is the quote Kapoor Khan, which is where we started things. So when you have, if we go by this report, there were 30,000 people, and there is video evidence to support that. I mean, you can see elements of that, I should say. 30,000 people, this is en masse protest. There is a peaceful protest. And then police, and now it looks like some other agencies or maybe parts of paratroopers are being called in to subdue this. I mean, this is what we see, you know, worldwide this phenomena is happening. Initially, governments tried to contain it. We saw it in Arab Spring time. You just saw what happened with the Peace Prize winners in Tunisia. Eventually in Tunisia, actually things didn't turn out that great, but this is what people start out with. Things are really blowing up in Punjab. I don't know how many people understand what is really happening in Punjab even this month. From workers' unions, how they are being targeted, how mazdoor unions, which is laborers, the farmers, the Sikh sentiments. I mean, this is just like pre-84 right now. And what you saw was a preview of 84, what happened in the last 48 hours, where there's en masse targeting and killings already starting to happen.
Wow. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that right now. That's kind of frightening. That's kind of frightening, other than right now we have a bunch of media outlets, thank God to technology. But that is, that's a pretty frightening thought, I have to say.
It is frightening. Well, you know, 1984 has, you know, we can bring in the Orwellian ideas again, but let me actually talk about the media part of it. So, you know, this protest of laborers and farmers was not being covered as well. They have been beaten so much and arrested so much in last month. But a couple of days ago, there was an incident. My wife is actually visiting there right now, and she told me she was on a train from Delhi to Amritsar, and the train was blocked by farmers, and they had to divert the train. That's the first time Indian media has covered why this had happened, why Shatabdi was blocked. This was highlighting the plight of labor unions and farmer unions. There were more than 100 suicides of just those workers, just in a month in Punjab. It took them, this incident is the first time some media in India covered this. The Punjab issue, whether it is through Bapu Surat Singh, prisoners release, and other issue, no mainstream media is covering. Even when they cover it, they laden it with hyper politicized, terroristic, quote unquote, ideas, which has nothing to do with any of this. So I think this incident is that another thing. Maybe this is a tipping point, but media is still not covering it. Maybe some of them will. Of course, alternative media is starting to cover it. So my point is, Punjab's real issue nobody's covering those issues. Whether they are from a Sikh sentiments angle, whether they are from the labor angle, whether they are from protection of average person, the suicides, the farmers, it is being unnoticed. It's being not recorded. Only the blogosphere talks about it, and one or two journalists and the unions talk about it. Now some Sikh Jathebandis are talking about it. That's it.
And so we're in the age of everything is being shared, and I see so much stuff being shared right now on what's happening in Punjab, even in Gurdwaras, you know, the Granthis there are talking about this, and you know, they're very tormented and they're very disappointed by the decisions made by the Jathedars there and the politics of Punjab. So what else, in terms of Sikhs living abroad, other than sharing and getting the story out to as many people as well, and I'm sure there's a bunch of videos on WhatsApp and all that stuff. Anything else we can do?
Of course, we need to do much more. So, for example, Sikhs who are sitting in diaspora, anywhere outside Punjab, we still haven't organized ourselves. Every time an incident happens, every time we do regroup for a while, but we have no voice. We still focus too much on, I will call, internal issues of religiosity. Those are not going to bring us together. Our spirituality is between Ekko Onkar and us, Guru and us. We need to really get organized around issues affecting people. And I think this is a yet another opportunity for diaspora Sikhs to start creating their own, you know, this whole missile idea, which we've been talking about and several other people have been talking about. Missile America needs to represent Punjab's issues as well. We're sitting here, we never represent them. This is where the global diaspora organizations have done a great job in getting us certain visibilities, but they stay completely silent about these things most of the time, overwhelming majority of the time. So, you know, yes, we are for peace, but in, you know, in Punjabi, they say Shanti Chahiye. And I remind people, you can't have Shanti without the Kranti. This is the Sikh model. And Sikh model of Shanti, it requires Kranti. Revolutionaries bring up peace. People who are not willing to get organized and address the issues, they're never going to be able to land peace by creating a hashtag on a Twitter, which is what our people do. So I would say organizing ourselves in the diaspora is yet another call. So get involved by organizations who are trying to, outlets who are trying to create awareness. And then one or two outlets need to organize the Sikhs in these countries. Don't wait for every Sikh, but those Sikhs who want to get organized. Sarbat Khalsa is a real deal. There's a reason why governments make sure it doesn't happen. There's a reason why they create splits among Sikhs, so there are multiple Sarbat Khalsas and none of them take off. This is another point which every Sikh organization, through Sikh Research Institute, we did this, you know, last year and 2 years ago, we talked about Sarbat Khalsas globally and how to hold them. I think it's time to start holding our mini Sarbat Khalsas. We cannot call it Sarbat Khalsa unless the whole global Sikh organizations are involved, but we can start doing models in our countries. And thirdly, make no mistake, guys, what is happening in Punjab is very, very real. There are people dying every day. They're getting killed. Nobody's carrying their voices. Now, people like, and I'm going to quote this, who have been fighting the 84 cases legally, like Harvinder Singh Phulka, are also very clearly, you look at his statements in the last 3 days, and they are very clearly saying that this is the work of the state government of Punjab. So state government of Punjab needs to be held accountable. Now, we have two relationships there. We need to make sure that the Jathedars, the presidents, the leaders of the Sikh organizations who are not appointed following a Sikh due process, there is no reason for us to follow them. We belong to Akal Takht, not to the ones who are occupants and hijackers of it. So I think this fake humility and fake respect for Jathedars needs to stop. And I think many people are understanding that. We need to understand that as well. Outside of this, really, people who are on the ground who are trying to get these things done, we all have to figure out what our role is. Either you further the ideas which are being reported. And in that sense, I do want to mention something. Let's not hijack other people's hashtag. We need to be respect other movements. They have earned those. They have made the conversations happen. For example, Black Lives Matter, they have been working very, very hard to make that a national issue which needs to be debated. And now at least one major party is debating it in a proper way in America. So Sikh Lives Matter, I understand the sentiment. But I think we should respect it, not use things like that. And we need to come up with our own systems, in our own way to talk about these things. And we need to stop worrying about what certain Sikh individuals within our families might think about these things, because it's really about, you know, there are 30 million Sikhs, and we need to look at their center. Their command center is really, it's under attack. It's simple as that. It's completely under attack and hijacked. We need to figure out how to free it. It comes down to that. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit to the data structure of the issue, because that's the tipping point here. There are lots of unanswered questions there as well. So yes, we don't like what he's doing, but we also need to look at what our response needs to be against him. Our response really needs to be against our own systems first, which include Akal Takht Jathedar. It is more about them and how they are manipulating this, and it is less about, little bit less about people who are creating these incidents, although we need to learn how to deal with these incidents as well.
Well, I mean, I learned so much, man, on this call, on this podcast. I mean, I don't want to take too much time. So I guess if anyone, you know what, just before you go, because I know you said it, and I'm sure maybe it's come and gone with six. Maybe it has, because I don't see that much media coverage anymore. But do you, let's talk about Apu Sudhir Singh just a little. Just for 1 or 2 minutes, and he's still alive. He's in very, very critical care still. What's happening right now with that? Is that just going to be another headline that comes and goes, or what's going on there?
Well, what's going on is that I think it's hitting the 270th day now. So this is no joke, guys. This is very serious. I think there are really good conversations happening through Bapu Surat Singh. I say through him because he's embodying a larger issue of prisoners' rights in Punjab for Sikhs in India. So it is definitely not getting coverage in Indian media, but it is definitely on Sikh minds, on Punjabi minds. And I think this has definitely gone beyond what we would say. This is not just about getting coverage for one or two times among the Sikhs themselves as well. This has definitely become a movement among Sikhs. Several people are carrying the flag forward. If you go online, in Twitter, on Facebook, there are organized times to create awareness of this. There are organized systems on how to talk about Bapu Surat Singh. Again, you and I, even if we don't agree with some of the tactics being used to talk about the issue or some of the images being talked about the issues, let's not focus on that. What we need to focus on this is that, again, I'm going to bring Punjab politics into it. In Punjab politics, the Prime Minister of India is now calling Badal Nelson Mandela. Yet, Bapu Surat Singh is on a deathbed, being force-fed and not being listened to in a way which, how the hell can somebody call himself or herself a Mandela and actually degrading the name of Mandela while Bapu Surat Singh's conversation is still alive in Punjab? So what I'm saying is there's a lot of manipulations of names and definitions going on. I think Bapu Surat Singh has definitely left a mark. This has definitely become a movement. It is continuing, and people are furthering that idea behind Bapu Surat Singh, which is about prisoners' rights.
Great. Well, I appreciate you explaining it today and explaining what's happening in Punjab and how Sikhs could get involved. So just before we end, you know, if people want to reach out to you, if they want to agree with you, disagree with you, follow what you're doing, how can they do that?
Well, I think the best way is I tweet at OneForce, number one, F-O-R-C-E. So that's my Twitter handle. That's probably the best way to do it. And I think these conversations are taking place. People should get involved in it. And my last comment here is, guys, these opportunities are coming our way to do something about what is happening in the Sikh world. We have to have a conversation internally about, is protest even the right way to do things? How are we going to continue to protest this? How are we going to help the largest Sikh population in the world, which is in Punjab, under a horrible regime not just at a national level, where, you know, Punjabis are finally speaking in terms of a national movements in India, where Punjabis are now leading, giving up the most Sahit Academy awards back to the government, which actually is intolerant, which is not allowing dissent. So there are Punjabis leading that now. There are Punjabis who are Sikhs who are leading conversations against not the godmen or the jathedars, but really against the whole system, which has been complicit in keeping people enslaved, both mentally and religiously. This is a huge opportunity. And every Sikh really needs to seriously think about what role they can play in it. Either you further the issue and get involved with organizations to counter these propagandas. And thirdly, also work with some individuals on what really needs to be the response. And fourthly, organize yourselves in the diaspora and help people organize in Punjab.
Great, 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 powerful message. Appreciate your time today, man.
Thank you, Manpreet.